Hello and welcome to the On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree,
and it's a beautiful day to podcast. It actually is because it's the first day of spring.
First day of spring, 50 degree weather, still snow on the ground.
It was 50? The snow is holding on so tight.
Well, because you missed a huge snowstorm.
No, it was there when I got off the airplane.
All right.
But literally, there is a pile in my yard that is microscopic, but it'll
be there till June. Classic Michigan,
yeah,
everyone.
If this is your first time listening, we are a deep diving Grey's Anatomy episode by episode podcast. We are currently in starting season 18, episodes 1, 2, and 3, but we've done everything else prior to that. And if you've not watched through season 19, then you should go back and do that before listening, because we will spoil everything for you. Especially this one. There's a lot of things to season 10.
Yes. That is right. If you want to support us, you can do so at patreon.com/theoncallroom. There you can be an intern, a resident, or an attending. And by helping fund the podcast, you get some bonus things. You get to join us on Zoom Hangouts once a month, bonus episodes, and 10 minutes of content. When we call time of death, we do what we call post-op. What are we talking about tonight, Abby?
Tonight we're talking about the crazy news that Maggie Kelly McCreary is leaving the show.
See you later, Grey's Anatomy.
Literally.
Everyone is
peacing
out by. The
Titanic is sinking slowly. The violins are playing.
And some people are on the back jumping off, hitting the propeller as they go down.
That was Ellen.
Kelly is in the lifeboat watching it sink.
Yes.
You know, and being like, my baby's
and,
on
like,
there.
Christina was the first off.
You're right. Christina was the one in the lifeboat.
She was like having a great time.
Yeah. Kelly is sliding down the Titanic as it sinks.
Yeah. What about Alex? He just went down.
Women and children only.
Yeah, he just left.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm going to say Chief is the
captain?
Yes, going down
with the ship. Yeah. I was also going to say Alex maybe like just put himself to bed.
That's what I mean. Yeah. He just was like,
was like that old couple who are holding each other.
Yes. Was there also someone like drinking at a table? I feel like.
Oh, Brandy. Yes,
yeah.
They were.
Yeah, that's Alex.
Mr. Guggenheim.
I really need to rewatch.
Yeah, you do.
So yeah, there's lots of great things that's happening in post-op, which is after.
We're going to relate it all to the Titanic.
Which is happening. It's like right after we call time of death, we keep recording for a little bit. So please be a patron. We love our patrons so much. And the community is really fun, especially with the new season happening.
Yes.
So.
Want to give a little like update thing here
about
these episodes.
Right.
So we did reaction episodes, and I think they were available to everyone. And I believe we started in episode 10 and finished out the season. It was probably after a break. We did
season 10.
I'm sorry, episode 10 of season 18.
Yes, yes.
So I don't think we did reactions to these episodes.
Perfect.
But just want to give you guys a heads up that I don't remember reacting to these.
I have no memory.
Yeah. And so if things are different, well, they're different.
Yeah, we might have different thoughts because we are different people.
Yeah, things have changed, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Our minds are always changing. And
always changing.
You know what? We give you the space and the freedom to change your mind about Grey's Anatomy daily as well. You know, sometimes my favorite episode is the one where Christina leaves. Sometimes
it's not.
It's
a good one.
You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
I like the one with the deer.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't care for that one.
I mean, it's like nostalgic for me.
Yeah.
That's back when I really loved Izzy. Like
See, and you really used to love Izzy. And now?
She's not my favorite, but she was for sure. Like, I think I wanted to be Izzy.
Yeah. Yeah. So things shift and change.
I think, did you ever feel like when you were little, you just gravitated toward whatever character like had the same hair color as you?
Oh, for
because
sure.
Because you were like, oh,
they
I
look
can
like,
be her.
Well, I think we often, that's why it's important to have representation.
Yes. Yeah. So anyways, that's what we're doing today.
Another way that you can support us is by leaving a review, 5 scalpels anywhere you listen. We really appreciate it. It means so much to us when you say kind words.
We love it. I also want to share something from our Facebook group. I hope that it's okay. I'm going to leave it anonymous in case they don't want me to share
Great.
This. Someone, this just made me giggle, posted this in the group. It says, I had a dream last night that my husband and I were with Catherine Fox, Richard Weber, and Alex Karev. We were talking about how we needed a new mattress, and Richard said he would buy us one because he knows how expensive they are.
They are.
Then I told him about the people who buy back the returned mattresses and how I could get one for much less money. I actually told them the whole story of the lady I heard about who lives in the church. Woke up and felt the need to share with my fellow listeners. Happy Sunday.
Oh my God, I love that. We are penetrating your psyche.
Brains. Yeah, exactly, which I love so much. So that brought me joy. So the Facebook group is, if you have weird dreams, it's
poppin'.
It's a place to put them.
Yeah.
I am back.
Yeah. How was your trip?
It feels bizarre that the last thing I did before I went was podcast with you.
Yeah.
And today is like the first, yesterday I guess I was back, but I don't, the day after a trip is like laundry.
Yeah.
Just it's, whatever.
Yeah.
And so today is like my first real normal day back and I'm back doing this. So it kind of feels like I never left.
Yeah.
But I was going 10 days.
My life existed in the interim, right. but my life didn't exist with you. We chatted a little bit.
No, especially because I don't have a phone when I'm there.
Right.
I only have Wi-Fi, and the 7 days at the end of the trip was like, I basically didn't have Wi-Fi.
Yeah. And I imagine you were with a lot of friends and stuff. And so a lot of the free time is like talking to your husband, not your wife.
I barely spoke to him.
Well, great. We'll talk about that later.
I don't think he would mind me saying that when he picked me up, he cried.
Aww.
It was really sweet. And I also felt really bad that I didn't cry.
Well, it's okay.
It was really sweet, though.
He was ready for his baby to be home.
Fragile boy.
Oh, we're going through it. It's
very much so. And so the trip was amazing. I spent so much quality time with people that I love that I don't see very often at all. I hadn't been back there in a year. And so seeing all of the kids I know there, it was just, I call them kids. They're in their 20s.
Well, and also this time was like a vacation.
Yes. It was like truly, we stayed at this amazing little resort where the wedding was, where like everyone that was a part of the wedding was sort of staying there and they had a little pool. And then also, so it was a dry wedding because of the kids that my friend who got married works with at our nonprofit, and they were all there. So they're like, let's just not worry about alcohol.
Yeah, great idea.
Until the after party.
Sure.
So at 10 o'clock or 10:30, the wedding ended, which it was a rave dance floor. We would not have known that it was dry. They all left, and then we were sitting around, and there was no bar. And we were like, what's going on? I was like, we bought alcohol. I was like, I know how much we bought. I don't know where it is. I couldn't communicate with anyone. All of a sudden, the bride and groom come out in their after party outfits, and literally 100 shots of tequila out on a thing. And so everyone went from sober to I do think I took 5 shots of tequila in the matter of 30 minutes.
Oh no.
But I wasn't hungover because I did that. And then I drank water and just danced.
Yeah. Wow. How late did it go to?
12 o'clock.
Okay. That's a decent time.
Also, you know me, how much I pee.
Yeah.
I didn't pee once that day.
You were so dehydrated.
That's how hot it was. It was 98 degrees, the band.
The band, for sure.
But it was really lovely. Her wedding was incredible. And then her dad, his name is Don, but we went to a place called Roatan, which is an island. We call him Roadon because he was in charge of the group honeymoon. He was wearing if you can picture any white dad wears those party fedora, a straw fedora.
Yeah.
He wore that and all these graphic shirts that said things like Cabana Boy and whatever. And he logistically planned for 95 people to fly from the mainland of Honduras to this island. We took up 2.5 flights, full flights of us. Also, the airplane did not have air conditioning.
Oh my God.
And it was 100 degrees on the tarmac. I've never been so hot in my whole life than I was
on that
airplane.
Did you feel like you were kind of suffocating?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My friend was like, I didn't know I'd die of asphyxiation today. This is how I go. The airplane will make it. But they literally fly your luggage in a separate airplane sometimes because they're that small of airplanes.
Wow. Is it scary?
Airplanes don't scare me.
Yeah.
How they probably should.
How long is the flight?
25 minutes.
Okay, so not too
bad. You're literally pew, boop, boop. But yeah, so he organized transportation, hotels, Airbnbs, condos for 95 people. So anytime we'd see him, we would yell, Roadon. Roadon. Yeah, so I stayed in a condo, and because Jake couldn't go, I still paid for the room that as if he was coming. So I had a huge king bed to myself with my own bathroom.
That's amazing.
It was good because it was a lot of people, and so I had to introvert.
Yeah, you needed time away.
Mm-hmm. But it was lovely, and I'm home, and I didn't
miss tan. And
I have freckles, although I was so scared of the sun.
Yeah,
it's
get it.
It's just different now.
Yeah.
Even when I got a little sun, I was like, fuck. It just.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I just felt
repair.
I just feel and I'm fine with, I'm going to age gracefully. But I do feel like sun damage, it's just like the quickest way.
It's tough. Yeah. And also like melanoma and stuff too.
My dad. And so yeah. I was wearing a sun shirt.
Good.
The whole time that I swam. And then
also like Honduras sun is different than Michigan
it's
sun.
It's insane. It's like painful. And then I was wearing a long sleeve sun shirt. I was submerged in the water the whole time. So my legs were fine. And then I wore a big the Costco hat that you and I both have. And 50 sunscreen.
That's great.
The only time I felt safe was when I was scuba diving because I was 40 feet below sea level.
I want to hear about that. But first of all, that just shows you how, number one, crazy the sun is and how you can wear 50 sunscreen and still get color, guys.
Oh, yeah. Also, I've been using Gradual Self-Tanner for 10 days straight. Same. I was going to say, you look like you have color too.
Yeah, my sister was like, did you get a spray tan? I was like, no, man, I'm just building the self-tanner.
Same. I did it the whole trip because I was like, it will look like I'm getting tan.
Yeah.
Look at my hands.
Oh, yeah, dude, look at my wrist. Oh. It's really bad. Guys, I have in the crease of my wrist, I have the self-tanner. Just don't look at that part.
It's the time of year where the only thing we can do is create fake sun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's keeping me alive.
Yeah. So anyways, it was great. I missed you and I felt like I missed my life here, but like I was having a life.
Yeah. There. But it's different. It was a party life.
It was not a big drinking. I mean, I guess I drank a lot of pina coladas.
Well,
which
that's
is
not bad.
Mostly ice cream, I feel like. Like I had like an ice cream with every meal, essentially.
That's really nice. And I'm sure it was so hot. You had to have a frozen bath.
And you can just drink and walk on the beach. Also, yeah. I've decided I would like to bring you there because it is the most affordable, chill, undiscovered place.
Let's go.
And like you just go with your Yeti cup to a bar. You walk like 10 feet to a bar. They put your drink in your Yeti cup and then you just go and you submerge in the water.
Yeah, I would really like to go to this.
And like there was no pool, but I didn't miss it because the water is so clear and like bath water warm.
I'm like, why don't we go in like December?
That'd be great.
That's the worst time to go. The holidays. We have things to do.
January's nice though.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay.
Great.
Anyways, that's all I need to report really. Scuba diving's great. You should all try it.
Yeah, that kind of scares me, but
I had a panic attack and was shaking violently before we went. But then once I was underwater, I was like, oh, this is fine.
Like you weren't snorkeling. You were scuba diving.
I was with like the gas tank attached to me. And
don't you have to get like certified for that shit?
You have like a training. Okay. If you go 3 times within 6 months with the training and whatever, like
can teach the class.
So basically, if I went there again and I was there for a week and I scuba dived 3 days in a row, the first day I'd have to take the class. The second and third day I wouldn't have to, but you're with a professional.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have to take the class. And after 3 dives, you no longer have to take the class anymore. And you can just go with a professional. You're certified to like not go alone, but to like, go without having to sit through the horrible 1.5 hours. Like, you know, you have to, because in the test, you have to like show them what you do if you lost your air. The thing is, I was not like, I was preparing as if I was going to be like by the Titanic, like surface was unreachable, but I was 40 feet, which yes, is very high, but like I had flippers on. I could have swam up to the surface so fast if like I lost
air. But then don't you get the bends?
Only on the way down.
Oh, I thought it was up.
You have to, on the way down, you have to equalize your ears. I don't know what the bends is poop, isn't it?
No, isn't the bends where you get like air in your blood or something?
Yeah, so that's if you fly in an airplane after, you have to wait 12 hours after you go scuba diving. Has something to do with the oxygen that you inhale?
Okay.
Something, I don't know. But when you go down, you have to equalize your ear pressure or else like your brain will explode.
Okay. The bends, decompression sickness, also called generalized barotrauma. Trauma or the bends refers to injuries caused by a rapid decrease in the pressure that surrounds you of either air or water. It occurs most commonly in scuba or deep sea divers, although it can also occur during high altitude or unpressurized air.
They did not warn me. Oh, well, maybe they did not warn me about going up.
I think that's how you can get the bends.
Because I wonder what the feet limit is. Because like
that could
be. I probably wasn't deep enough for that to happen.
Sure.
But going down every like, you'll start to, your ears will hurt.
Yeah.
And you have to plug your nose and like breathe through and it like pops your ears.
Yeah.
So if you have like problems with ear things.
Like John.
Does he have a hard time
with ears? Yeah. He had like a lot of ear surgeries when he was a kiddo.
So. Yeah. I was just every 5 seconds squeaking out that
I don't think I could do it because do you remember like my ears won't pop after flight sometimes.
I do remember that in Mexico.
Yeah. It was so bad. And then it happened to me in Arizona and then it happened to me It happened to me in Savannah. It was so bad and so painful.
Yeah, it hurts.
It hurts so bad.
I imagine it feels like what mine felt like as I was going under if I didn't
Yeah.
Pop them.
Yeah. And like, no matter what I did on that flight, they wouldn't pop. And so it was just, anyway, I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's a deep trauma of mine. But
I did see a sea turtle, not while scuba diving, but on a boat. And it did look like the turtle in Finding Nemo.
That's really cool. It was truly like, you can see me now, I'm surfing. I was going to ask you, well, I already asked you this, but I will ask for the listeners because they all want to know, did you see a shark?
No, but they did tell us we could.
Oh, because I
didn't,
can't.
They didn't tell me what to do. I think they're little ones that don't bite. Like, they just, like, swim.
I just don't think, I have told you about my fear of sitting in my bed thinking about that.
Yeah.
In fact, I did last night. I thought about sharks last night. I was like, I can't do it.
I just didn't think about that. The biggest thing I saw was a fish that was probably, like, 13 inches.
Okay.
It looked friendly. Like, it didn't look like a mean fish.
Yeah.
And then the coral reef was beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, crazy colors. And, like, I was right there. And there's lots of little fishies, like, Finding Nemos.
Oh, I saw dories and Nemos. That's nice.
Yeah. I was in the Caribbean Sea, which is...
Aren't there a lot of sharks in the Caribbean Sea?
They didn't tell me, so I didn't know.
I don't think I could do it.
I even went snorkeling out in the middle, too. So I guess I wasn't thinking about
open water. Okay, I was thinking, you know why I was thinking about sharks last night? Is because do you ever get those sharks on TikTok? Like, where people are like,
it's like in a kayak and then there's
And then all of a sudden there's a big fucking shark and it scares the shit out of me.
I'm not on Shark Talk.
I'm on Shark Talk. Get me a, oh, I have a lot of TikToks to show you after this.
That's what we'll do after we record. Okay.
We should probably start talking about the episodes, I suppose.
What if one of our bonus awards for being a patron was that we like posted our favorite TikTok somewhere and you just got to see our weird ass things?
Dude, I'm telling you, my algorithm right now is out of control.
I love
out of control. It's people creating music that should not be creating music. That's all I'll say.
Okay, perfect. I can't wait.
Okay.
All right, let's get into the episode. Lot to dive in. Today we're talking about season... I didn't even mean to do that. Season 18, episode 1, 2, and 3, Here Comes the Sun, Some Kind of Tomorrow, and Hotter Than Hell.
Several years ago, someone welcomed me to the game. They said how well I played, that was up to me. The competition was tough. The mentors were even tougher. I pushed myself to the breaking point, and I didn't crack under pressure, even though, let's be honest, I probably should have. I've played the game pretty darn well. Or so I thought I did. You try just as hard. You do the same things you've done for years, nice. Even better than you used to. But what if it still doesn't feel like a win anymore?
We are acting.
Does that mean you stop playing? No. It means it's time to change the game.
Well, I don't know if I can do that.
Well, I want you to try.
Okay. Okay. Homeostasis is our body's way of maintaining a consistent and steady internal state. Multiple systems work in sync to regulate factors like temperature, blood pressure, even sodium levels. I feel like I'm a science class. I'm Bill Nye right now. These systems are designed to resist and combat anything that tries to throw our bodies off. It's a continual loop with checks and balances until something manages to break the cycle. There is such a thing as predictive homeostasis. It's when our body anticipates responses to future challenges. It understands that change is inevitable and it doesn't have to be catastrophic. Meredith Grey.
Oh, that was really good.
It really felt like I felt like I was in class hearing something and I was like, I'm not learning it. Yeah. I'm not remembering it. That's what I felt like.
When the body's exposed to rising temperatures, it has the ability to cool itself down. We sweat. Our blood vessels dilate and our heart rate increases. Our body releases as much excess heat as it can. But when the temperature starts to inch above 100 degrees, our bodies have to work overtime, leading to heat exhaustion. We become nauseated, dizzy, confused. And we fight like hell to cool down before it's too late. For me, the boiling point is more about stuff bubbling up from the bottom. The bends. It's about stuff you haven't thought about in a while. It's about stuff that's been heating up while you weren't even paying attention. The question is, how well can you contain things before they boil over? The thing is, even if things don't boil over completely, they can still simmer. And as long as you're careful how you handle yourself, you won't get burned. Meredith Grey.
Beautiful. Okay, big old shotgun workup. We've got Father Christopher, blunt trauma to the chest and abdomen, scalp laceration, cardiac tamponade, liver laceration, and splenic laceration.
Nadia Correa?
Correa?
Hemothorax, tandem fractures at T6 and L1, thoracic compression fractures, tethered spinal cord, and syrinx.
Beautiful. Winston Ndugu, strained rotator cuff.
Maggie Pierce, sprained wrist.
David Hamilton, Parkinson's.
Brad DeMarco, facial laceration.
Rashida Flowers, diabetes, chronic kidney disease, superior vena cava syndrome, renal failure.
Noah Young, finger clubbing, cyanosis, dyspnea, and pulmonary fibrosis.
Danny Young, facial laceration. That's Robin, a hard one.
Robin Jetter, foreign body and vaginal canal, foreign body and abdomen, and intestinal obstruction.
Chet, secondary burns.
Tova Friedman, hysterectomy following placental abruption.
Lily, hydrostatic pelvic injury. Whew. I'll read the big one if you want to start, because I, again, have to edit as I go.
Jo is now the mother to Luna, and on her first day back at work, she is too worried to bring her into daycare. She's afraid that by leaving Luna anywhere, she will make Luna feel the same way she did as a kid.
Meredith heads to Minnesota to check out a research library being created to honor her mother. When she gets there, she finds out that the research library is down the hall from a research center that was created specifically for her to work on with the help of the best neurosurgeons in the world, a surgical solution to help heal Parkinson's. The patient in question is, in fact, David Hamilton, the doctor who flew her there in the first place. While staying in Minnesota, she connects with Nick Marsh, her former patient and fellow transplant surgeon. He takes her out for a drinks and walks her back to her room at night. We find out that Meredith and Cormac tried dating in the period that happened off screen, but stopped when Cormac's kids started getting panic attacks. Meredith brings Amelia to check out the research facility, and she is surprised to find out that Amelia is 100% all for the project. Meredith is worried about being a failure and messing up the stability that her and her family have. Nick takes her out on another date to the woods where they talk about this subject, among other things.
When Meredith makes her way back to Seattle, she comes to the conclusion that she would like to keep her role as chief of general surgery and start her research in Minnesota. She decides to give up the residency program and give it back to Richard, who she believes was made for the position. She doesn't tell Richard or Bailey what she's going to Minnesota for yet.
Grace Sloan is in need of a new head of plastics, and when Dr. Lynn comes into the interview, she gets pulled into an emergency surgery. After the surgery, she's given an offer to take the job, but she says she needs time to think about it because she expects a lot of her residents, and the residents at Grace Sloan are a year behind.
After many fights and discussions over marriage, Link tries one more time to propose to Amelia. She turns him down again, and it's clear that their relationship is over.
Teddy and Owen have a small wedding on a hill outside in Seattle with Owen's mom, Megan, and Farouk, but it's interrupted by a bike race that runs over their priest. Unfortunately, he doesn't make it out of surgery, but luckily for Owen and Teddy, their friends throw them a mini wedding inside Joe's bar.
Winston begins working with a former travel influencer who struggles from diabetes and needs dialysis, named Rashida. Rashida's brother and mother both died from renal failure, and because of an archaic system called EGFR, she's not on the transplant list. Winston found a similar patient on the transplant list, with the only differentiating factor being that the patient on the list is white. White patients' EGFR is measured lower, making them better transplant candidates. It stems from a long line of assumptions about Black people. Bailey is baffled. Winston suggests writing an appeal to the transplant board, but Bailey asks him to think bigger for other Rashidas out there. During Rashida's surgery for her dialysis port, it goes wrong, and she ends up luckily being placed on the transplant list, even though her previous doctor is unhappy about the way she got there. On the day of her transplant, the HVAC goes out in the hospital, and Richard cancels Rashida's surgery. In order to avoid her getting sicker and giving the kidney away, Winston has Owen help him borrow the mobile surgery truck owned by the fire department and perform the surgery in there, where it is air-conditioned and air-filtered.
Owen comes into contact with a veteran at the hospital who is suffering from pulmonary fibrosis that is so bad it has been deemed terminal. Owen is upset at the VA's lack of involvement and feels personally like there is something he should be doing and fighting for in order to get this veteran, as well as others, the help they need. At the end of the third episode, after ignoring many of Owen's calls, Owen makes his way to Noah's house to convince him that he should let him help him.
Addison Montgomery comes back to Grace Sloan to perform a history-making uterus transplant, which has never been done before, on a patient named Tova. The surgery is successful, and the residents are in awe of her work, as well as her history with Meredith. After the surgery, while in an elevator with Meredith, it hits Addison that Derek really is gone. Meredith tells her that he is alive and her children, and she invites her to dinner that evening at her house. Addison, Amelia, and Meredith enjoy a beautiful night together, while Addison gets to interact with Derek's kids in an emotional moment.
First notes.
I said, I cannot believe we were in season 18. Lots of lap coalies, and Mare is back in the OR. And then it turns out that was a dream.
Yeah. I also have, okay, so there in, I think in the monologue, it says, I pushed myself to the breaking point. Or it said, Mare says that. And I was like, oh, interesting. That's literally how the season ends. Like, this is the season that ends with her sobbing
yeah.
in the hospital.
And being chief of...
of everything.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to pay attention because I remember feeling like that was an insane ending, mm-hmm. like just out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And then again, was never resolved. So I'm trying to see, like, did they hint at it? And I don't know if they did, but that sentence specifically was said. Also, can I just jump into this?
I'd love for you to.
Okay. It is wild to me that, again, spoiler for season 19, in this season, Meredith is like, I can't go to Minnesota. I don't want to mess up the stability of my family. I want to be chief of general. I want to be like in charge of the residency program. And then the next year, she's like, I'm going to go to Boston.
Yeah. I, not to get too deep into season 19, but in the shower today, I was thinking about...
It's in your psyche as well.
Dude, it has penetrated deep. I was thinking about why did Zola have to go to Boston? Like there had, it's Seattle. There had to have been schools right? that like were for like gifted children there or even like an hour away or
something.
Well,
I know Jackson offered her to study Alzheimer's.
Right.
It just feels like this storyline then shouldn't have happened. It's too close. Because like all of season 18, we're like, is she or is she not going to move to Minnesota? And then season 19 was like, she's actually going to move to Boston.
And like completely uproot her family's life.
Absolutely. So it's just her arguing with Amelia about why she should go. I was like, none of this lands for me because she literally changes her mind in an instant.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I didn't even think about that, honestly. But you're right. It doesn't, the whole argument doesn't even really make sense because. In a very short amount of time, she so easily leaves her family.
Right. So short. There's also, again, I understand COVID fucked everything up with the way this television show was probably supposed to go. But two things I have a problem with. Season 17 ends with Richard asking Meredith to be in charge of the residency program. Mm-hmm. We all as viewers, I think we're like, oh, how full circle. That's beautiful.
Yep.
Within the second episode or third of season 18, she's passed that off.
Right.
In season 18, it ends with her being chief of the hospital. And when season 19 starts.
And like the residency program being fucked up, remember?
Right. And then it's just like fixed and
yeah.
she gives up that position.
Yeah. And it doesn't really make any, like they, to do these big swinging stories to then come back and be like, oh, we fixed that off air when like,
you and you
like
were here.
6 months have gone past.
Right.
Also, the Minnesota thing. And I know, okay, I'm just going to say.
No, you say it.
It drives me crazy that David Hamilton asked a general surgeon to research Parkinson's because that is a brain disease.
Well,
and I get that he says because you'll bring in other
right,
doctors.
Right.
That is not, there are plenty of very smart neurosurgeons. And honestly, I don't even know that surgeons like do research like that. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know a lot about like the research community, but like, I feel like there would be better people to bring in.
Oh, for sure. It felt like he was, because I was trying to pay attention to that because I've remembered you saying that when we watched this season.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, what? I was like trying to pay attention. Like, what is David trying to do here? And I was wondering, like, is he just trying to use her name and stature to behead this so that, because clearly, like, Amelia, neurosurgeon, Kai is, like, they're not a neurosurgeon. They're, like, a...
They're, like, a researcher.
Some Yeah.
yeah and, like, and
so,
a scientist.
So, like, two of them working on this together makes a ton of sense to me. Is Meredith's only point is to be the, like...
The name and to bring in other
the
doctors?
The Nepo baby?
Like, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
I
don't think Meredith is researching.
No. And also, like,
it's
the storyline just – I remember feeling really frustrated by the storyline last year, too, because, like, Parkinson's hits really close to home.
Right.
And, like, there's not a cure. And I just kind of hate that they throw this in there.
Right.
And then – because I feel like often what they'll do in Grace is they'll throw in storylines of shit that's already happened or is, like – and maybe there is some, like – I think there is some cool research going on with Parkinson's, but like, I don't know. It like,
yeah.
And then for it, spoiler alert again, like to just not even be a thing in season 19.
Well, right. Cause they do end up doing surgery on him.
Yes.
But I don't remember the outcome and or also like the only part that felt real to me was the conversation Amelia had with David that was like, are you on these meds? Are you doing this? Like, you know that this is a disease that like, you know what this is. Like, why are you, like, almost like encouraging him to, like, do what he can, but why is he like pushing where he might die having this experimental surgery? Right. Like that part felt real, but the rest of it felt like this weird fairy tale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think we were all a little annoyed in watching this not that long ago, but that like we're in Minnesota. Like we had right. just, I think it was frustrating too, because we had just had the season of COVID where right. Meredith wasn't around her people. She was in a coma.
Right.
And then all of a sudden she's not with her people again.
Does Ellen just not want to be by those people anymore?
I think maybe. Well, and then she left the fucking show. So.
Right, because then she's in a cabin with Nick. For right. Like,
I think she doesn't want, or maybe she's too expensive to have on screen with yeah. the other like main cast.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I would love someday for there to be a tell-all. Because yeah. surely the writing is obviously a big part, but there had to have been behind the scenes things.
Oh, I'm sure.
I just like could, okay, also the whole introduction to Nick. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'll be going to this with an open mind. Like, you'd make fun of him on the show. First of all, I was confused. She's like, how did you know I was here? And he's like, a hotel next to it, whatever. Does he work with David Hamilton?
He works at that hospital. Okay, he's the transplant surgeon.
Okay,
there.
So he that, but just the way he had like the server go up to her and be like, can I walk you to take a drink? It was so weird. Their second date laying in the woods by a tree. Like, that's not Meredith's style.
Also, what was that first date where she's like, I'm seeing someone. And then she was like, I'm actually not. Yeah. What?
Yeah. I loved your notes. You were like, who's she seeing? Oh, Cormac. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Meredith seeing someone? Who? Oh, she's not seeing someone. Oh, she was seeing Cormac.
I read that part and I laughed. It just didn't feel natural.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let's go back a second. Pisses me off that we didn't get to see her with Cormac.
Never.
We never got to see it.
His
but then
kid was having panic attacks.
They throw it in the writing that like his kids weren't okay with them seeing each other.
Also, then how cheap of the writing to then in the next year give Zola panic attacks. I was like, come up with something new.
Yeah.
Like I just – the way – I don't know. I actually feel bad for Cormac because I feel like you can tell he's getting shoved off this show. And like,
do you think that was his choice?
No.
You don't?
I don't think so. Apparently he was making good money.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So let's go back to the Nick thing. Yeah. Why are they in the woods?
Laying by a tree.
His knee. I will say he does bring up his niece. So that's uh-huh. not as random.
Right. Right. And he must have brought up the niece in his first episodes also.
Yes.
Because she knew about the niece. She's like, oh, you got her to grad. Like she graduated.
Yeah. Because I remember when the niece, spoiler alert, yeah. shows up at the cabin. I'm like, why is there a niece
yeah,
here?
Yeah. He does bring her up. He just is, he is a walking, like, you know those, like, is it in Harry Potter, the Sphinx that tells a riddle? Like, he's a walking riddle. Like, I feel like he speaks in riddles. He yeah. sort of, like, talks in question marks.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just doesn't feel like a real grounded character to me.
Yeah.
And then, especially now watching this, knowing that none of this matters.
Well, we still don't even know in season 19 if he ends up with her or not.
Right. It's like wild.
He just like kind of leaves and he's like, he's taking some time. We know nothing yet.
Oh, I haven't been watching.
Oh, yeah.
He's gone.
He's like off the show right now, but he's like taking time.
No.
But I don't know what that means.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Also, in the same episode, we find out that Megan and Riggs have broken up, which...
I missed that part.
Okay, it's when Megan it's quick. She's doing surgery and with Owen and whatever in there, which I'm like, why are you doing surgery here? And she goes, she like, there's a pause and she's like, by the way, Riggs and I broke up. And she says, pandemic casualty. They, after staring at the same four walls for whatever, they decided something. But she says he signed up with his NGO and he's shipped out days later. So he's back like abroad.
Because the only mention I remember of Riggs was during the – like, sorry, he couldn't be – okay, missed
the
other part.
And then she admits that they actually have broken up and he is now overseas. What a waste of an entire second half of a season. The last time that, to me, Mare had chemistry with someone was her looking away at him leaving.
Yeah.
That was one of the last times I felt like this show was real.
Remember the episode of Grace where it's like Riggs and Megan setting up a home and like Owen driving – or Riggs yes. setting up a home and Owen driving?
Riggs had a bigger goodbye than Meredith and – They're not even together.
It was a whole episode. It reminds me of that episode of Gilmore Girls where Jess goes to California.
Yes, it's very the same because we're in a weird...
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that pissed me off. Megan and Farouk being back is annoying to me. I just don't like the character of Megan.
Okay, I'm going to ask something really dumb.
What?
Did Farouk already have his surgery?
Not yet.
That happens, that's coming up.
I believe... No.
The heart thing?
Yeah, that has to be coming up because Megan had surgery when she was here first.
Right, after. Yeah, no, but Farouk.
That must be coming up.
Okay, that hasn't happened.
Oh, don't worry. Also, Owen loses the ability to walk in this season.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then he walks.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, like I just.
Hell yeah, man. All right, Owen.
Also, I guess I asked myself this, but then I answered, like, does Teddy not have family? But she, I guess she doesn't.
I remember her parents both died. So, and then she must not have siblings.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that they're breaking Cormac and Mare up without even seeing them get together. And then they're introducing Nick Marsh, which is like a weird, he seems like a hire a groom. Like he feels like someone you hire, an escort.
I'm trying to remember, were we excited when we saw him?
Some people were, but I was like, who?
It was because it was one episode.
Right. So and like they had good chemistry in that episode. But
I remember when we reacted to that episode, we were kind of like, we were looking for that and we didn't see it.
That's true. Also, I feel like the thing with the Nick thing, and then I'm also going to include the Addison thing in this. The Addison emotional response to Derek, which we can talk about later, I think is really good, but it seems too far away. I think it should have happened in season 11, or he dies in 10?
He dies in 11.
11. I think it should have happened in 12 or 13.
Yeah.
18? Feels too far gone that mm-hmm. Addison would just now be coming back to this hospital
and whatever, grieving.
And grieving. And also that I also feel like the Nick Marsh separation is too long.
I agree. Also, I agree.
It should have been the vet. Finn came
Oh,
back?
Finn.
We all would have.
I thought you meant the veteran.
Because none of us have rewatched the Nick Marsh episode, but we've rewatched season one.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So, I agree.
Anyways, I just have problems with it.
I mean, we'll see how like the rest of the season pans out, but I know I'm not going to like it.
What's the actor that plays David Hamilton? I always forget his real name.
Peter Gallagher.
I don't love him on this show either.
All I can think of is Sandy Cohen from The OC. Yeah. And I know all you can think of is Center Stage.
Right. I just don't.
Sandy.
He's not hit. I don't. His character isn't connecting with me.
And that's okay. You know, I love him like as an actor. Uh-huh. Like I just always like him.
Yeah. How's it feel to have him on Grey's?
It feels fine. Like I just don't care. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, and I don't mean that like it, I want to be at Seattle Grey's.
I know. Exactly.
You know, like I yeah. want Meredith. We were promised the residency program and right. then she's not there. And we were promised, right. you know, so many different. You know, when we started watching this show, we were promised Meredith Grey. And where has she been for three seasons? Really, if you think about it, 17, 18, yeah. and 19, she is like pretty absent from the storylines.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just sad. So.
It is sad.
Okay, let's move on to Owen and Teddy.
Okay, I was like happy for them, this cute little wedding.
I was like happy for them.
And then, of course, that scene when the bike hits the guy and they all react is the cheesiest.
Wacky. Just wacky.
It felt like fake acting.
Yeah.
Also, I like the two
poor
the couple,
father Christopher.
Exactly, the couple that like hit him. I was annoyed by them too. I was just like, ugh.
Yeah. He died, but he lived a long life.
Yeah, that's true. I just hated Megan marrying them. Then
I know, like, I hated the bar scene. Felt really cheesy.
It felt very cheesy.
Yeah, like let's just do this, or I don't know. Didn't she say something about rising from the ashes?
Yeah, it was weird. The only part that I felt that was sweet was I feel like when Teddy gets to Owen at the hill, there's like a sweet moment. Like, I'm ready for them to be married, but the way it happened was just meh.
Yeah, I thought her dress was lovely.
They deserve better, honestly, and that's, you know me. How
I thought it was cute. What I did like was the hillish wedding felt like them.
Yes.
You know, like Owen got married at Meredith's house. Like he had the big wedding with Amelia, but like Teddy and Owen being with their family.
That's all they need.
On a hill. Like it felt, because they were going to get married at their house last Anyways. Season, you right. know, like the dress felt very appropriate, all yeah. of it. But then like the big party at Joe's and like the acting was so bad in the end. Mm. And I hated that she was like, and do you take Owen to be your husband? And then Teddy goes on this long, like, and then Megan's like, is that a yes?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh yes. my God. Yeah. Ugh. So.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I'm happy they're married. We've been waiting for it. It sucks that this is then like.
This is their demise.
This is their demise. Like they just finally got happy.
And now the veteran. I didn't realize the veteran storyline started so early.
Real freaking fast.
Which we
fast.
Can zoom right into that maybe.
Yeah. Wait. Before we do, because we're talking about their family, I want to talk about Leo.
Oh. That's the one shining star.
Yeah.
In this
Owen,
episode.
Great job.
I think which it's like sad that we were so surprised.
I know.
But I like the way they framed it too, that I think Teddy wasn't non-supportive. She was scared.
Teddy is worried that people will be cruel. Owen says they won't be.
Or will be kind.
Will be kind. Like Owen uh-huh. and Teddy won't be cruel. I have a note. I remember being surprised he was so chill. Like he right. was just super like okay with it. And even in the beginning, you notice that like there's a parent going into daycare and is looking at Leo and Teddy's like about to get defensive.
But
and
she just wondered where the dress was from.
The guy was just like, oh, my daughter wants an Elsa costume and I'm just wondering where that's from. And she's like, oh.
I do love that they also made it like Elsa because I know so many children that wear Elsa dresses,
yeah.
both boys and girls. Like yeah. it is a phenomenon.
You know, into the unknown.
I know. But yeah, I thought that was a really lovely scene. Just in the show in general.
Yeah.
Do you think it was done at the same time as Kai is introduced? And there's the like, I feel like they purposely like really emphasize Kai's pronouns mm-hmm. in Kai's introductory scene. Do you wonder if it's just two separate happened to be on the same episode or like.
That's a good question. I don't know what the writers were thinking.
Glad for both of it.
Yeah. Because I also, with Kai, they didn't. I do remember that we get into Kai's backstory at some point, but in this initial episode, there's no like talk of pronouns.
No, there's just a lot of sentences.
They just know, and I appreciated that Amelia like knows Kai from yes. like literature and knows that their pronouns are they, them.
Yes. I thought it was like a very seamless way of introducing it without making that the topic.
Well, and also too, like, sometimes it's just nice to see, like, it can be helpful, obviously, to ask people their pronouns, but it can also be really cool to just see that, yeah. like, someone's pronouns are being respected.
Yes. And that's what I liked is that it wasn't a storyline.
It was yes.
just,
yeah.
It was just how it was. But I felt like the way it was introduced, we heard it enough that it like, really, like, sunk in.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Okay.
Also, Kai is so hot.
For sure, like, has replaced the Jackson Avery for me.
Kai, like, when they show up on the screen, and I remember, did you watch,
You got this. She's acting out with her arms. She's making hands up in the air.
Hold on. I'm going to.
Also, Marge has entered the chat. She's over here too.
Shrill.
Oh, I did, but not season two because my Hulu kept breaking.
Oh, dude. You
Is Kai in season two?
Kai's in season two. Oh. And Kai is dating the roommate.
Perfect.
And like, I fell in love with Kai. I don't know what character they play in the second episode or the second season, but I remember being like, oh my God.
Yeah. Also, I think it's the like, I don't give a fuck about you people mentality, yeah. you know, like yeah. I do feel like they're like above everyone else.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
They remind me of someone and I don't know who.
I get that feeling as well, which I've heard that people don't like to be told who they remind people of because it's never good.
Yeah.
Mine is always this one actress. I can't think of her name. I'll look it up later. And I'm always like, do I look like that?
Like, but just like their energy yeah. reminds me of someone.
Yeah.
I'll think on it. I know it's a positive one.
That's good. I also want to say that this is it like comes at the time where like Link starts being an asshole.
Yeah. Do we notice like sexual tension immediately with Amelia and Kai?
I think a little bit. Definitely that phone call mm-hmm. when Kai's trying to cool yeah. her off by yeah. like guiding her through that
like
meditation.
Guided imagery. Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Of like Lake Superior.
Yeah. I was in my head. I was going, I should have tried this when I was in Honduras because I was so hot.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Okay. But we were going to talk about the veteran.
Okay, yeah, just that I didn't realize it started this early.
Mm-hmm.
I do – also wild today on NPR when I was driving. I don't know if it was like an old thing or a new thing, but they were talking about – it was like talking about someone who – like how bad the VA is at supporting veterans.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I listening to a Grey's Anatomy podcast or is this – But it's real. It's very real. So I'm interested – I remember actually like this storyline. I was like, oh, this is interesting. We've not done this before. Also, what is the phrase for what he wants to do when he wants to die?
Physician assisted yeah, suicide.
I think so.
Die by suicide.
Yes, I think that's the physician assisted.
Yeah, because
but
by
I do
yeah.
think that's a very interesting topic.
Wait, but I feel like it changed, like because they didn't want to use the word suicide.
It could be
physician assisted death.
Okay, perfect.
Maybe. Okay,
you're.
I'm not sure.
You're also our research assistant right now.
Yeah, this is when we need someone on the podcast.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wait,
but I feel like physician is
only in Oregon, right?
I believe California and I think Washington might have some Western states, but definitely in Oregon. There's that documentary, yeah. How to Die in Oregon, which is a really, really, yeah. really sad documentary, but really good if you are wanting to learn more about it.
I was fine with it. I just hate when a hunt pushes people when they don't want to be pushed, because I also felt like I appreciated Cormac's thing of like, this man wants two things. Like, he wants time. Like, it's hard enough to accept when you're dying, believe me. He's talking about his wife. And he's like all he wants is to, like, spend time with his kids. Like, yeah. He doesn't want to spend it in a hospital fighting for something.
Yes. Like, it feels it's just classic Owen. Like, it feels frustrating that he, like, shows up at this guy's house.
Yeah, insane.
Like, that's really, that's unethical.
Exactly.
Like, you shouldn't be doing that.
It's like he can't handle it because it's not what he would do. And his intentions are always, his intentions are good here. Like, he cares he wants this person to get the care they deserve. But his way of doing it is not thinking about those people's thoughts and, like, yeah. what they want. So,
yeah.
I'm trying to remember. I'm just talking about patients Tova. Really quick. The Tova storyline, does she end up dying?
I think she ends up having to get the uterus, like,
I think
removed.
So, too. And also Rashida.
Does she end up dying?
I feel like that can't be the end of her. I really thought there was more, but maybe not.
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Do you notice how much social media talk there is
yeah,
in these episodes?
Yeah, a lot more.
This is also the season where they make a TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
With Addison.
Yeah. So how did you feel about Addison showing up?
Okay, I'm going to talk about Kate Walsh first, which is that Kate Walsh has been acting, I feel like, since mm-hmm. Grey's. She was on that one show, 13 Reasons Why.
She was also on Emily in Paris.
And then on Emily in Paris. And while I do believe she sometimes plays like a side character, she's not like been the lead. I do feel like she has been acting in jobs. And I do feel like she jumped into Addison better than other characters who have returned have jumped into their characters.
Yeah.
Specifically the way Addison cries. Like, in the mm-hmm. elevator, and mm-hmm. when she tells the kids, when she, like, sees the kids and has that, like, reaction, that felt very Addison-like.
Yeah. Positive things to say, and I do appreciate it for these episodes. I was annoyed the first time I watched it, and I was annoyed the second time I watched it this time, of when she says, you must be the group that's screwing up the program.
So dumb.
Dumb line.
Because isn't it,
didn't
you must
be the doctor, or the doctor who's screwing my husband.
Yes, didn't need that.
Didn't need it at all.
I didn't even catch that this time, but now when you said it, yeah.
And I agree with you that in the elevator, too far away, like, too far away from Derek dying for it to be as impactful.
Right.
I almost wish that Meredith wouldn't have said something about her kids. I wish she would have referenced the beach. Like, I wish she would have been like, he's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've
just
seen, like, I've seen him. Like, I know this is going to sound crazy. Well, I don't know.
Also, or like he's like in this hospital, in the students he taught, in the ferry boats you see here in Seattle.
Yeah,
the kids
he's with me. He taught me so much.
The kids, you know? Did nothing for me other than her seeing them was special, but I didn't think her Meredith referencing the kids.
Yeah. Or like even talking about like Amelia, he worked with Amelia. She's taken over his position. Like,
yeah,
the shepherds are here, you know, but like, I don't know. I did like the brief scene where like they're leaning their heads together in the elevator. I thought that was like Meredith looked like Meredith in that uh-huh. moment. Like that look she gives.
Yeah.
She didn't look like an Ellen Pompeo acting moment.
Right. I also felt like the scene where she hugs Amelia was great.
That was really nice
because
to see.
They had a whole fucking show together.
Yeah.
Like they have way ton
yeah,
of
and
history.
That's her like ex-sister-in-law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So that I wish we'd had more Amelia Addison interactions almost.
Yeah.
I didn't like how cold Meredith was, like when they were operating. I think it was to like lead on because the interns are like, what happened between them?
Yeah.
And then they have this like connection. Or when Amelia's like, won't that be weird? I was like, why the fuck would that be weird?
Yeah. It's been years and years and years. And Addison comes back.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
The part when she says, when she sees the kids though, and then when she says, I was your dad's friend, he called me Addie. I thought that was like, I just got a little shiver.
Also, but why would the kids ask that?
I don't know.
Maybe why were, they were like, them. You were my dad's friend.
Maybe Mare told them. Also, I feel like they all three should have been there.
Who?
Because she's like, Bailey's upstairs.
Or Alice is upstairs.
Yeah.
I kind of did like having in a mood, she gets that from me. Yeah. I did kind of like that. It's like, that would be
that's
one of Mara's kids. So it's having a mood upstairs.
Being dark and twisty.
Yeah. And also that it's Alice. Because it's like.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Real quick. Why was Alice brought back?
I have no idea. I have a note of like, oh my God, why is Alice here? And then it was just a dumb scene.
Yeah.
Of like her in
the place where
she had her home, her assisted living home.
Also, okay, another quick hot take. Joe's wig.
Oh. You have been talking about hating blonde
the blonde
Joe.
Hair is fine once it's her blonde hair. Yeah. That what department did they get that wig from?
I don't know. It was awful.
It wasn't even on her head. Like, it was so.
It was awful.
It doesn't matter if you bleach your hair won't get that big if it's not normally that big.
It can get pretty fried if you don't do it correctly.
It's true. But it looked wild.
Yeah, it was not good.
With the hat on over it?
Another random take. Teddy's hats.
What was that all about?
And then Owen having a party in the morgue?
Owen wearing that like steampunk hat? We didn't like it.
Yeah.
The morgue thing was also whatever. Okay, another thing that just disappears in thin air is this Dr. Lynn.
I literally, you wrote that. I have no idea who that is. I must have missed that whole fucking entire thing.
She sits in an interview and then she calls in to operate. And then she's in the third episode too.
Gone.
And she's very like.
Maybe I kind of remember this.
I'm not saying this because I feel like people are going to be like, people don't like an angry or like a stern woman character.
Yeah.
No, she just like, she doesn't think the residents are good enough. But she's not giving me anything that, like, makes me, like, you know, like, Christina was a dick to, like, the interns, but then funny to her, like, colleagues and whatever. And I'm, like, I don't quite
get. Well, she just brought in to show that the residents aren't where they're at, and that's why Richard needs to come in.
She was hired as head of plastics.
But I'm saying, like, if the residents aren't good enough to move along that story of, like, the residents probably aren't good enough, COVID, like, and then to get Meredith to give the program to Richard.
Probably.
Yeah.
I know she is in more episodes. But
I know who you're talking about
but
now.
But, like, head of plastics, she should become a main character if she's head of plastics.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I hate when
they you're right, you're right.
I really have nothing to say about Lincoln and Amelia other than it's very clear that it's over.
I did think the one that it was funny that like you could tell it wasn't a couples therapy. I was like pretty sure this is a pediatrician's appointment. But it was funny how they played that.
Yes, that was I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and then he was like, "But let's get back on track. Like how much does your baby weigh?"
I also think it was maybe I felt like sad for him, but I don't think they're a good pair when he like proposed one last time. That would be confusing.
Yeah.
I think for someone to say they love you, but then like, I don't know. I just think they're not right together. But then when Amelia says that she's like maybe going to Minnesota, I like how he's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like we're doing this. So
final thing I will say, if someone came in with a wrist injury, I would not be like, that's a sex injury, right?
No. I'd be like, did you fall?
Yeah. I wouldn't think that.
A broken penis is a sex injury.
Yeah.
A wrist injury. Also, I believe Kelly Mercury went on to have her baby, and that's why she's not in these episodes.
Got it.
So, okay. Notes and trivia. There's quite a few.
Okay.
Buckle up. This episode's title originated from the song Here Comes the Sun, originally sung by the Beatles.
It scored 4.77 million viewers.
This is the first season premiere written by longtime writer Meg Marinus.
It is also the sixth season premiere in a row to be directed by Debbie Allen.
This episode starts with the following message shown on the screen and read aloud by Ellen Pompeo. This season, Grey's Anatomy portrays a fictional post-pandemic world, which represents our hopes for the future. In real life, the pandemic is still ravaging the medical community. Get the latest information on how to protect yourself and your loved ones from COVID-19 at getvaccineanswers.org.
This episode marks Chris Carmack's 50th appearance as Atticus Lincoln.
In order to keep Scott Speedman's appearance a surprise, his starring credit was moved to the end of the episode immediately following the end title screen. Additionally, news that he joined the cast as a series regular was announced as early as September 30th, 2021, hours before the episode aired.
Easter egg hunt. The episode is filled with Easter eggs referencing back to past seasons of the show. So the first one, the close-up of Meredith's face when she awakens from her dream is reminiscent of the close-up shown in A Hard Day's Night when she wakes up on the living room floor after her one-night stand with Derek.
That feels like a strong
stretch.
Yeah. The white striped shirt and beige pants she wears throughout the episode is very similar to her outfit worn on her first day at Seattle Grace.
David tells Meredith she is the spitting image of her mother. Richard told her the exact same thing in the first episode.
Meredith tells Nick she is not sleeping with him, which she also told Derek in the first cut is the deepest.
The room in the background of Alice's appearance in Meredith's dream is where she first appeared in the pilot, Rose Ridge Home for extended care. I was about to say, that's probably why Alice is in this episode, if they're trying to do Easter eggs.
Yeah. The Minnesota Mayo Clinic was previously featured in early season 9 when Christina worked there. The location fits with previous statements that Alice Gray worked there as well as Nick Marsh.
This episode's title originated from the song Some Kind of Tomorrow, originally performed by Jane Ira Bloom and Mark Helias.
The episode scored 4.04 million viewers.
Wow, I feel like that's a big from 4.77.
Yeah.
Yikes. Originally, Maggie was supposed to be the central main character in the storyline surrounding Rashida. However, due to a pregnant Kelly McCreary having to stop working early, rather unexpectedly, having already shot a couple of scenes involving the storyline, the scenes were rewritten and reshot with Winston taking Maggie's place.
I liked it as Winston.
I did too. I thought it worked well.
Yeah, I liked how she asked him out.
Yeah.
This episode's title originated from the song Hotter Than Hell, originally sung by Dua Lipa.
And it scored 4.5 million viewers.
This marks the first appearance of Kate Walsh as Addison Forbes Montgomery since the season 8 episode, If Then. Addison is only featured in the alternative reality portion of that episode, meaning she hasn't actually been in Seattle since delivering Sophia Robin Sloan Torres in Song Beneath the Song. That's her last full episode.
Well, that makes sense because that's when Private Practice was still going on. So they used to do crossovers.
You're right.
This episode marks the first time Addison visits Meredith's house. This makes Erica Hahn and Cormac Hayes the only main cast members not to have visited the house on screen.
Norman Levitt, the show's former head of the makeup department, returned to the show to do Kate Walsh's makeup despite having retired in mid-season 14. He also returned to do Patrick Dempsey's makeup for his return in the previous season.
That's kind of sweet.
I know. I thought I was going to say to do the wig for Joe. I was like, get him out of here.
The episode features a historic heat wave. Another heat wave was featured in the episode Both Sides Now.
Catherine Fox Award.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
I kind of feel like giving it to, we didn't even barely talk about this, but we had the big round about it, but Winston fighting for Rashida to get that surgery.
Yeah, that's pretty,
and righting some wrongs. And maybe Amelia Amelia ends it with Link meets Kai, gets a part of research.
Yeah, but I feel like Winston is a better one.
Let's give it to Winston.
Okay,
cool. He rarely gets it, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay, what are you going to rate it?
I did enjoy the Addison end moment, the elevator and at Mare's house. Uh-huh. Is that enough to overpower my rating?
I don't know. Is it?
I can't give below a 5, but I'm going to give a...
Why can't you?
I'll give a 5.
But I'm just curious, why can't you?
I don't know, because I do continue to watch it. Like, to me, anything below 5 is I cannot get through it.
Okay.
And somehow I do manage to get through it every week.
I'm going to give it a 4.5. I had a really, really hard time focusing on anything going on in these episodes. So I didn't really care for them. Sorry, listeners. Sorry about it. Hope it gets better.
John has my sweatshirt in the background.
Oh, did you hear about this?
It's too small for him.
Yeah.
So I get to have it.
Yeah.
Do I have to buy it from you? He says no.
No. But you heard, he told you about it.
He texted me, asked if I wanted it.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
I'm so excited. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I get a sweatshirt after this, listeners.
It's very exciting news. If you want to hear us talk about Kelly McCreary, you have to be a $10 patron. Otherwise, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, I'm sorry we're so negative about these seasons, but hopefully we're funny enough once in a while. Are you serious, John? You're getting ice cubes?
Really? You're getting the loudest ice cubes at the end of our episode.
It's so... This is.
I'm gonna call time of death. Time of death is.
No, I was shushing him, not you.
Oh. Do you want to call time?
You
of
know,
death?
Say
time it. Of death is
into the mic.
Time of death is 2,000 hours.
Beep.